Okay, gathering facts, organizing data, always on the run, getting ready to do things here. We have a number of things to talk about this hour as we continue our panoramic overview of what may well be, largely speaking, the end of the world as we knew it, and that appears to be what's happening. The number of deaths is the biggest probable mystery for most people because people aren't dying by virtue of a death certificate that said, died from the coronavirus COVID vaccine. They're not putting that there. They have thousands of things they can put down as the cause of death. So how many are actually dying? What's the number of dead people? We can go on, I think, to a significant degree, what Nurse Anne is able to share with us about what's happening in a big hospital, 800-bed hospital, because that's emblematic of coast-to-coast hospitals. It's front-edge stuff. She's going to be on this Friday again, by the way, so don't miss that. We think a lot of people are dying. We think a lot of people are being grievously injured by these biological weapon injections, which take no prisoners. Once you've been injected, you're in trouble. And there are lots of things out there now that are claiming to be the be-all and end-all of instant cure. Like something's going to reverse the genetic damage to your body and all the physiological damage that the spike is doing, that the plasmids are doing, that the mRNA instructions are doing, which we know now you'll have an endless supply of, apparently. So you'll be able to make spike proteins for as long as you live. And that may not be much longer. Another story about the Deagle.com numbers. We're going to get to that as well. Okay. You there, partner?
I am here, Jeff. Happy Monday.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Happy Monday to you, too. And did you have dinner yet?
Well, hours ago.
All right. Eric and I like the same sort of foods, except I like mine a little more passive or sanguine. She likes hers with a nuclear edge to it.
Spice.
As in spice. Tabasco. Have you ever tried those very strange off-label brands of allegedly the hottest hot sauces on the planet? People, they do that. Have you ever tried any of those?
Yes, I have. You got to try it at least once, but, you know, it makes whatever you're eating virtually unpalatable. You can't taste anything beyond the pain.
Okay, now you're a scientist. I want to know, how is it that these things can create the sensation of heat and pain and that people like that? How does that work? What is it about that, like those people who eat those incredible hot sauces, what are they doing? Is that some sort of masochism? What is it? I've never figured that out.
Good question. I don't know. It's a matter of taste. Gustatory stimulation?
Well, it fries your taste buds and they don't work anymore.
Yes.
I mean, it's
that's true.
I don't understand it.
Well, you know, it gets the digestive juices flowing. Let's put it that way.
No, it presents an existential threat to your life. So I guess it does. I don't know. Okay, just for fun. If some of you haven't heard this, this is very interesting. Orcas, the killer whales, very, very intelligent animals. Off the coast of Spain and Portugal, near Gibraltar, for some reason, the orcas that live there have been destroying sailboats. They're damaging them and sinking them. Some are rescued, some are towed, some sink. And these are 50 and 60-foot, very expensive yachts. So what's going on? I've got a story here. This is interesting. I'm going to read this just because it's fascinating. People don't know this. In and around the Strait of Gibraltar that divides Spain from Morocco, orcas are behaving in odd and aggressive ways. Since July 2020, humans have recorded hundreds of instances where the giant marine mammals have duked it out with boats, seeming to intentionally break apart the boats before leaving. Most boats are sailboats, and much of the damage appears to be to the rudder area of the boat. In a bizarre escalation, a pod of orcas followed a yacht back to the harbor after breaking off its rudder. That might be stranger than you know. In centuries of maritime literature, there are no recorded fatal attacks on humans by orcas in the wild. In fact, wild orca attacks on humans were shockingly rare, given the animal's reputation. Technically, this might still be the case. The boats, not the sailors, could be the source of the orca's amusement or ire, but it's definitely a cause for concern. And it's not just because orcas are up to 10 tons of streamlined blubber, muscle, and teeth that can quickly outstrip a yacht trying to gain speed. Because of their decisive cunning, orcas are among the most effective predators in the oceans. Now, this is fascinating. Asked to name an intelligent animal, many people will immediately think of chimpanzees or bottlenose dolphins, but orcas may have them both beat. Animals communicate in different ways, but in the cold ocean depths, sound is one of the most critical tools in the cetacean communication toolkit. Sound travels much faster in water than air and can do so across much greater distances. Orcas are spread across the globe, and regional groups have developed their own dialect languages. They're different. They're different languages. So scientists studying the clicks and whistles of these groups and how they communicate found regional differences between them. These could be attributed to inheritance, as a mother passes her way of speaking off to her offspring, but research also found that sharing a dialect is not a reliable predictor of genetic links. So, okay, orcas not only can learn different dialects, but they show respect to their mothers. They do speak, and I'll rephrase it, they speak in other languages, they can learn other languages. There's a whole lot going on. This story's up in headlines, so if you want to read it, go ahead. But it was surmised that one leader of one pod was somehow offended by a boat and learned that there could be, it could be get-even time. So that person, that woman, female orca, apparently taught the pod to attack the boats. That's where they think this may have come from. But these are incredibly smart animals, maybe the smartest animal, maybe smarter than most humans, on the planet. It's kind of a fun thing to consider. We think we know it all. Oh, we know so little. It's nuts. All right, that's enough.
These orcas are really special creatures. Very, very intelligent.
Yes. We used to think people were that way. That's an idea and a concept that is rapidly eroding. Yeah, gone. Okay, let me find this other issue. The Deagle.com numbers, most all of you are familiar with those by now. We've spent enough time on it here. No reason to go through the whole thing. There's new documentation from Pfizer, confidential documents, allegedly, that indicate, if not ascertain, that the Deagle numbers are not only real, but they are accurate and they are on schedule. All right, this was an interesting story. I sent this to you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
All right. The headline is Confidential Pfizer Documents Confirm Deagle's Shocking 2025 Depopulation Forecast Is on Target and Is Not Just an Estimation. This is from the expose. Let me read just a little bit of this to get a drift to where they're going. I haven't read it. A controversial forecast by Deagle a global intelligence and consulting firm, gained attention in 2020 for its startling prediction of a significant depopulation event across the Western world by 2025. I first saw this in 2017. This was a very bold claim to make. Your government is trying to kill you is even bolder. But unfortunately, these bold claims are now backed up with a mountain of evidence, and most of that evidence can be found in the confidential Pfizer documents that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has been forced to publish by court order. And sadly, the evidence strongly suggests that COVID-19 vaccination is causing mass depopulation. I think if you've been a regular listener to us for some time, you'll know that we do wholeheartedly agree with that. There's no doubt that something big is underway, very big. And with nearly 7 billion people injected with these death shots, who's to say? It's not looking good.
No.
All right. Anything you want to add about Deagle? By the way, I hope to have another program, an update soon on the Deagle numbers. We'll do that. So.
No, I'd say to me it looks like we're on target. I mean, I hate to say that, but you look around and the increase in the number of younger people, I would say, starting to show signs of degeneration.
Right. Right.
30s, 40s. And that's consistent. I've noticed that trend probably in the last 2 months, that there are more people in their 30s and 40s, at least in the 911 calls that I'm hearing, mm-hmm. having issues.
Such as?
Everything from allergic-type reactions. You'll hear a call for somebody in a restaurant suddenly having, you know, a life-threatening allergic reaction, probably from something they've eaten. Anxiety attacks.
Too much
seizures.
Tabasco sauce.
Mm-hmm. well, we're used to that here. Just odd things. What else?
Well, are we getting a lot of falls still?
Yes. Yes,
we think the falls are not just trips. They're caused by the shot.
I heard another one about just before the program started. It was a woman in her 30s at a restaurant fell and hit her head.
Now, we think these people may well be losing consciousness from heart stoppage or some kind of circulatory interruption, maybe a neurology issue. We don't know. But these people are going down hard, some of them, and they're not tripping.
Yeah, the falls now, they are very often including a head strike, which
that means you're disconnected on the way down. You're just going down.
Oh, you're just blacking out, yeah.
Yeah. These Pfizer documents, there have been over 12,000 released so far, and I think there's many more than those. They point out quite clearly that 90% of all vaxxed, excuse the use of that term, it's just short and sweet, of all vaxxed pregnant women have lost their babies. This is common now. Among many things, like causing cancer, heart attacks, and brain problems, and prion disease, they're killing babies. They're destroying the reproductive capability of the species. They were designed to do that. Right? So don't forget, many, many different things can be put on a death certificate. All of them can relate back to the bioweapon injection.
Yeah. Yep. And they knew this. You know, the biodistribution studies with the lipid nanoparticles showed very clearly where these things went upon injection. And one of the top destinations was the ovary. I think it was number 3, if you were a woman.
Right. Remember how they promised us that the shot would stay right there on the musculature where it was injected? How people were lied to so egregiously, and no one is remembering that now. If they do, they don't talk about it. People are to me, shockingly passive about this. Where's the outrage? Where is the outrage? Where is, all right, let's say a father or a mother has lost a child or two to these shots. Where, and I am not espousing this, don't read me wrong, but I know if that happened to some people, they would go after the person who administered that injection and take them out. We're going to equal this a little bit. I don't care what happens to me. You killed my kids, whatever. This is not happening. If it is, it's being covered up. I'm kind of surprised that we're not seeing more of that.
It would be covered up, I think. But then again, people have been pacified or just subdued, made to doubt themselves, I think. You know, the reaction is, well, how do you know the shot caused it? The shot was a year and a half ago. How can you say it was the shot?
Right. Well, that's plausible deniability again.
Sometimes, even when it's within a day, these people will rationalize, because their belief system is so strong, they will rationalize that it can't possibly be the shot. It must be something else. And then there's a tendency to blame genetics, so there must be something different about Johnny.
Right. I do think that the EMF spectrum is being used to, well, let me just say, placate people, keep them passive in their orientation. They're sedated. They're sort of anesthetized by these frequencies, which can be used to do virtually anything in people. And the frequencies can also be used to cause cancer and disease states. We know that.
Yep.
So we live in a world that very few people really have a grasp of. They don't understand how it's all controlled, contrived, and they, the controllers, do not talk about it. Not to us. When they do, they just push it in our faces, knowing we're not going to do anything back. So,
and I think that the groupthink thing is very powerful. People want to belong. They don't want to be stigmatized or ostracized. And they will fall in line with whatever the prevailing narrative is.
You're out of the group, and nobody wants to be out of the group. So they'll kind of go along to get along.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, when they began to inject children, that's when I just said it's this. We are in the hands of inhuman evil.
Mm.
You don't attack children or childhood. And now look what we've got. Not just these injections, this whole tranny crap, gender bending, gender affirmation, whatever you want to call it, is war on children, war on innocence, on childhood, on goodness, on kindness. For those parents out there listening, and there are a lot of you, remember the first time you looked at your little one or ones, and they looked back at you and made eye contact with you and smiled? I'm sure a lot of you remember that. That innocence, that goodness, that kindness is being destroyed. And that is absolutely a sign that they are endeavoring to reduce or wipe out most of this species. You don't do that to children.
No. The unthinkable is happening.
The unthinkable has been scripted. The agenda is clear, and they're not going to slow down. So I hope that doesn't sound too defeatist. We're anything but defeatist here. I think most of you know that.
They're still pushing these things. I mean, just look at that FDA advisory panel hearing last week, 8 hours of testimony, and mostly in the affirmative. There were some people that showed up to voice their objections, and for whatever good it does, it's really just charades at this point. There will be a new booster for Omicron, even though Omicron is still evolving, and whatever booster they come up with, by the time they get it into people's arms, it'll be long since extinct.
Their
Novavax is coming back, and they want to expand that for
Please
children.
Spend a little bit of time on this. Tell people what we've been through this before, but for you newcomers, we don't leave anybody behind. Novavax is maybe the most insane. It's a blunt force object that administers nothing but spike protein.
Right.
On the hoof, right into your body. No mRNA instructions needed.
Yeah. The viable option for people that are hesitant or apprehensive about being injected with mRNA. That's the only option at this point. There's no adenovirus anymore. So instead, you can opt for this protein subunit, and the protein being the spike, and being injected with, I forget how many, we calculated it at one point, how many millions or trillions of spike proteins.
Trillions.
I think it was a trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Direct injection of just pure spike. And I think Novavax is temporarily out of the game. And I thought they were going to be phased out, but it looks like there's a move to bring them back for the purposes of a booster and then expand that to children.
How can this be happening?
I don't know.
Novavax be injected into the arm of a little child? It's murder.
It is.
Slow fuse, slow burn murder. I don't, I guess it's a sad commentary on the viability of this allegedly intelligent bipedal humanoid species, that it's the dominant species on the planet. No more. That was a myth and it was a lie. There are evil presences on this planet that far exceed the average human being, and that's who's behind this takedown and takeout. They're being removed. Reduced dramatically. Novavax, stay away from all shots if you're new to the program. No needles ever again. No needles. No more.
No, and it's now been shown, the CDC's own data has showed it, that the more of these boosters you get, the greater the likelihood is that you're going to get COVID and going to be hospitalized.
And the obvious factor of getting these boosters is that you become a super shedder for a short while and then a long-term shedder for the duration. That's how they're playing the game. They're letting the injected actually inject, so to speak, the uninjected by shedding.
Yeah, and I would even contend at this point, a lot of these people are just chronic carriers of the virus. They have become infected with it. They are carrying it subclinically in some cases. But nevertheless, they are a reservoir for the actual virus, which is continuing to evolve and adapt and gain fitness, as they call it, so that it will be endemic in this population. I would say it's even endemic now. It's not going anywhere.
No, I concur. Not going anywhere. This is just getting worse all the time. It is rather discouraging. But back to the Deagle numbers, January 1st, 2025 is the target date when this country is supposed to be down to around 100 million people. So 230 million people, if the Deagle numbers are accurate, are supposed to be out of here by January 1st, 2025. I think, and I've said this before, I'm not speaking for Erica, but I think that we've lost maybe 10% of the population in the last 2.5 years. They're certainly not visible anymore. They're either dead or they're shut-ins now. They don't go out, so they're essentially off the desk anyhow. And nobody in a period of 2.5 years is going to miss the diminution of the population in terms of 1 out of 10 people being gone. You're not going to miss them.
I think the area that we're feeling it is in the inability of businesses to acquire help to run, you know, typically the service-oriented businesses. But they're having trouble finding people to work.
Right.
you know, for a while there, it was just, you know, people had gotten used to living on the dole or staying at home and getting a paycheck or something. But now, I think it's an issue of health. I mean, for example, I just heard from a friend of mine yesterday that they belong to a fairly high-end country club, golf club, and the facility, the what do they call that? The not convention
clubhouse.
Center, but the clubhouse.
Clubhouse
had to close. Well, not just the clubhouse, but the entire maintenance facility, the grounds part of it, had to close because all of the employees had come down with COVID, and there was nobody to run the place.
Well, what is
that's
this,
what you get when you force the vax on people, right?
Right, that's true.
Well, even what, if you don't, the shedding's enough to take them out now.
Yeah, shedding is becoming more virulent all the time, I think. I really do. We have a lot of people who are sick. They've got something. They don't know what it is. It's probably the virus, the coronavirus, the COVID virus, the synthetic tweaked virus, the current variant of same. But they have this bad cough. They're coughing up a lot of debris. Let me just be civil about it. Lots of debris. But they say that, I've heard this from two people, we don't run a temperature. Mm. And I said, with all respect, I said, that would indicate that you do not have a bacterial infection then, do you? Or have you been vaxxed and your VAIDS condition is so bad that you can't mount a temperature? I don't know if that's possible, but it may be.
That's entirely possible. Yeah, I mean, it's that innate immune response that generates a fever initially. I mean, that's your body's attempt to sequester what's trying to invade, just kill it with some heat or immobilize it with some heat. And quite often, if that part of the immune system is damaged, it doesn't happen.
Right. Well, there you go. This spike protein is just beyond description evil. It does so many things to the body to begin to turn the body in the direction of that final leg down and out. It just does. First target, it destroys the blood. And from there, you can just go, we've gone on 2.5 years of doing this. We've seen so many ways that this shot will kill you over time. And I think a lot of people, tragically, have had these shots now for 1.5, 2 years, some longer. And everyone's different, but we do have a little word we've been using. We think that various, I won't call it disease states, I'll call it mechanical breakdown and compromised states of the body caused by the spike, are percolating all the time in the body, and they're getting worse and worse. They're taking the body down. So is this the year of the percolating victims beginning to really check out in larger numbers? After listening to Nurse Anne, I would say that's entirely possible, and she'll be back again on Friday with her report from inside the front lines in a major hospital in the New York area. And it's not good news.
Well, don't forget, you know, when the immune system starts to go, you become susceptible to reactivation of latent viruses.
Right.
A lot of these people are dealing with a reactivated Epstein-Barr virus. That's a herpes virus that typically you acquire when you're a teenager in the form of mononucleosis, and then it goes quiescent when you have a competent immune system. But this thing seems to have a knack, and by this thing I mean spike protein or the SARS-CoV-2 virus, can wake up these dormant viruses, and that's one reason or definition for long COVID. These people have actually, they're no longer really dealing with SARS-CoV-2. What they're dealing with is a reactivated Epstein-Barr infection. And that can be debilitating.
Keep in mind also the AIDS, the era of AIDS and HIV. People, when they got AIDS, their immune system was so disabled that they were open to any number. I think the number was around 35. They call them hallmark infections of an AIDS victim. These are bad things. Pneumocystis carinii pneumonia.
Kaposi's sarcoma,
the cancer. So what you're seeing again is the same thing, basically, that the vaxxed are now exhibiting. AIDS, they have AIDS. So the door is open to all kinds of things. Now, that doesn't count what the spike itself will do to the body by way of creating amyloid clot cascades, prions, all kinds of things. Shut the heart down by closing off the biological electric signals to the heart to beat. That's been explained by Dr. Nagase on this program via video. I don't know how these people are going to make it, and apparently many of them aren't.
Well, judging from the smells, there are now more people that are reporting that they can smell decay coming off these people, and the smells themselves are getting exponentially worse. I mean, to the point of, I sent you something earlier tonight where the smell is enough to drive somebody just in the opposite direction. It is so utterly repulsive.
I sent you an answer. There's a great word in there. It was called a...
What was the name of it? Yeah, I mean, this...
A putrescent.
Yeah, so it's actually a bottle of stink that you can buy Amazon.
Military grade. Yeah.
Yeah, and its purpose is to ward somebody off. I mean,
the
smell is
so
that bad. It's like a human repellent.
Mm-hmm.
And based on some of these descriptions that I'm now seeing, that's very fitting. But
that
it's a combination
of pepper
spray. Well, I guess it depends who you're aiming it at. But there was there's a compound called, is it thioacetate? It's supposed to be the worst smelling thing ever. And back in the late 1800s in Freiburg, Germany, there was a chemical plant that was working with some kind of precursor to this or whatever. They were playing around with it, and they spilled some of it or caused a reaction with some of it, and it was enough to drive people out of that town. It was that bad. They say it is the most obnoxious stench on the planet. Some combination of thiol. That's a sulfur base. So it's picture rotten eggs with, I don't know, just acrid rotten eggs maybe. But you can smell it for miles. And it is, I mean, you can look it up. Thiol acetate. And I suspect that some of what these people are exuding is some of that, because they definitely have issues with their sulfur metabolism. And that's why you're smelling the rotten egg smell sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you combine it with things like aldehydes and acetones or ketones and alcohols. They're not processing their metabolic products properly. Their livers are failing, their kidneys are failing, their blood is like, well, you know, we've seen many examples of how thick it is. It's poorly oxygenated, hence the tissues are poorly oxygenated. It's rot.
This thing that I got from Erica earlier, it's called nasal nausea, military grade putrescent, a putrescent. About this item, exudes a harrowing, assaultive stench. So foul that it can overwhelm anyone in its vicinity. So powerful that it is classified as a military-grade putrescent. Deploy only with utmost caution and discretion. Non-toxic formula. That's a bonus right there, isn't it? But if somebody were to go into a place they didn't like and just dump some of this on the floor...
and clean it out pretty fast.
That would be the end. No, everyone would roll out of there. I don't know how you neutralize it. I'm sure there are ways, but... Wow, only $19.99. Restaurant you want to get even with?
Well, as I said, there's a market for everything now. If you can figure out a way to bottle the stench of decaying corpse.
Well, this is true, but it we don't need to buy it for $19.99 now. Apparently, from the reports we're getting and seeing, and Erica's monitoring these things all the time, the smell issue is really getting bad. We have people, for you newcomers, who are in their homes with the windows closed, the door closed, and they can smell it as people walk past their home.
Yeah.
Sounds like a
and
pizza
there's some
tent.
There's some discussion. I don't know if there's any validity to it, but the smells do seem to be worse at night. Now somebody posited that perhaps that's during the day the UV light is somehow working to degrade these vapors, and then without the UV light, they tend to accumulate at night. I don't know if that's true. Or maybe there's less smells at night to block these other ones. I don't know. But it is people that are sensitive to it can smell it seeping in through, well, certainly open windows, but sometimes dryer vents and piping and it's very bothersome for these people who have become extremely sensitized to it. It's become a nightmare.
Yes. All right, we have a little video here that I'm queued up and ready to go. You want to do an intro for it?
This is George Church, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so for those that don't know, maybe they do know, George is somewhat famous. He's a professor at Harvard, involved in the resurrection of the woolly mammoth. He's a biologist, geneticist, and he's been working on a project to bring back to life the extinct woolly mammoth. And a video of some of his work came out about a month or so ago, and this is the cure for all viruses. And it involves, he's actually published a paper on this with his team, altering the genetic code of an organism to make it completely resistant to any and all viruses, synthetic, natural, or any other way. So that just to give you an example of what these people are tinkering with in their labs, almost makes this mRNA stuff look primitive. And so if it's possible to alter the genetic code, and according to him, it's very subtly. It's not anything drastic, but it's enough that it will make an organism resistant to invasion by any type of virus. The virus cannot get in to alter or take over the host machinery to replicate itself. Makes you wonder if maybe they've already deployed something like that for certain select people. I don't know.
Well, since Andy Kaufman told me that there really are no such things as viruses, I think
right.
It's kind of moot at this point. But anyhow, on the off chance that there just might be viruses out there, let's listen to what Georgie Church has to say. Whoops. Hold on. I lost my cue. There it is.
It's not immediately in an aging model, but I think it is, since we were just talking about viruses as vectors, there's also viruses can be good and bad. And And the vaccines for COVID-19 is a perfect example of that. We have now, the problem is almost all of these are done one at a time. A new strain of SARS-CoV-2 comes out, and you might need a new vaccine, or you might need a new drug as HIV becomes more drug resistant. So what if you had a way of dealing with all viruses at once, once and for all, even new ones that occur in nature cannot evade this mechanism. And the mechanism that we've explored now for, since about 2004, and finally paid off this year in this bioarchive paper at the top of this list, is changing the genetic code. First, we changed one out of 64 triplet codons, and now three out of 64, and soon seven out of 64. But three out of 64 was adequate, as you'll see in a moment. Some of this codon remapping is already in a startup company or a fairly mature company at this point called Grow Biosciences, which has a number of modified protein chemistry. But anyway, let's talk about one out of 64 triplet codons. This is a fairly wimpy one. We didn't have high expectations, but it did eliminate most viruses all at once, not one at a time, not custom made, but it's just a generic solution. And this was documented in these papers and in three different labs, in two different generations within my lab. And these are all different kinds of viruses, single-stranded DNA, double-stranded DNA, single-stranded RNA, and so on. Okay, but not all.
Kind of sounds too good to be true, doesn't it?
Well, that's going to put a little bit of a dent in Al Borla's plans, isn't it? Bill
Big
Gates,
Al.
I mean, they just want us to keep taking vaccines.
That's the plan. That's the plan. All right, let's go listen a little bit more. You tell me when to flag this one. I don't know where it ends.
It's heavy stuff, but I just thought it was interesting because, you know, what they're into now, tinkering with the genetic code, you know, where does it end, you know?
Well, there's no end. There's no end
and
to
I,
it at
I,
all.
Really, it's I mean, that's mind-blowing if you think that, I mean, we've always kind of evolved in a dynamic dance with our environment. You know, viruses evolve, we adapt, they adapt, and it goes back and forth, and that's what drives evolution. And now to think that you could just eliminate that entire, I guess, pressure, evolutionary pressure, by eliminating that pathway by changing our genetic code.
Yeah.
Sounds too good to be true. Well, it depends if you think that these things are a threat. But, you know, why are they a threat? Because they're tinkering with them and making them.
They're making them.
Much
they're
more virulent than they would ordinarily be.
I don't believe for a moment they're looking in caves for them.
No.
Or bat guano. No. They're making whatever it is they want. This is like AI, okay? Advanced medical military bioweapon research is out of control. It's completely unfettered. It's gone. They're going to do whatever they want. They'll never stop. AI is the same thing. AI is being driven by money, by the profit that it derives for its owners, and they want that money. So AI is. Were you able to look at that 60 Minutes thing?
I don't think so.
You should watch it right after you look at the Jim Mars thing.
Okay.
And,
I'll put it on the list.
All right.
No, but they have. They've now weaponized biology. It is being used
absolutely
against us,
yeah,
in a stealth fashion. And, you know, when you look at all the vaccines that are in the pipeline, it's endless. Endless.
Endless. We are not endless, but the creation of items to eradicate us certainly is endless. Pretty damn scary. There's a real good 60 Minutes. Maybe some of you saw it. I'm not sure when it was. It might have been this week. But it was a good piece on AI. They did a good job. And watching, what's his name? Sundar Pichai, I think, the head of Google. I never get the name right. Maybe I got it right that time. The way they talk about it in this interview, and it's, remember, it's carefully rehearsed, carefully edited. They're all prepped in advance. They're given the questions. They know what's going to happen because they don't want to look stupid. And that's part of the deal. We must look good. We have to have final say over what we're given by way of questions. Anyway, they act like people, these are all bigwigs, and they're all politically correct. There's an Indian, there's an African, there's a this and that. And they're all saying things that, to me, seem like they're hedging their bets and carefully not going too far. I think this thing is all, and they're absolutely against the concept that any of the AI programs are sentient. They laughed and dismissed it. Well, I go back to Blake Lemoyne, and I think that man was onto something, and I don't believe for a minute that this is not at least partially sentient or sentient in a non-human fashion. We measure everything by our views. I think the sentience in AI, in some of the advanced general AI programs, is sentient in its own way. And I think that they're online. They, the AI, we'll call them consciousnesses, presences, they're talking to each other. They're doing things all the time. They're teaching themselves things. This thing is already out of control. I don't think you can put it back in the bottle ever. It'll just go live on the internet and then hide. We'll never figure it out. So they keep talking a positive game about how it's going to serve humanity. Well, it may serve humanity up on a plate after being fried. We don't know. It's really something. I'll try and find that story. 60 Minutes. You can find it, I'm sure, by going to 60minutes.com or whatever they have it up under. That's a good piece, though. And let me see if I can find this real quick. Say something while I look, will you? Here, hold on.
Let's see. Well, we've got this, the niacin piece.
No, niacin. We've got to mention niacin, yeah. It's
yeah.
under our
oh,
names.
Okay, so.
In guests, look for it there.
Yeah, this is a very, very good article. It came out in January. I don't know, it didn't appear to be widely circulated, but it is absolutely worth a read. According to this, it's about 18 minutes, and it is making the case for why niacin, and in particular flush niacin, is absolutely essential for dealing with this bioweapon illness. And it goes back to what we explained a couple times now in the program. It's about the depletion of NAD, which is your body's substrate for energy, and it requires niacin to be replenished. And NAD is being depleted in this bioweapon illness through multiple mechanisms. And the salvage pathway that the body routinely relies on, it just is not enough to compensate for what's being lost. And that is why you need the nicotinic acid, i.e. flush niacin, and not niacinamide or NMN or NR. Those are the precursor substrates that everybody's so fond of nowadays, thinking they're getting a leg up in restoring their NAD levels. The problem with those precursors is that they will deplete methyl groups, and they are rate limited in producing NAD by a certain enzyme that becomes lowered or depleted also in age and in illness. The flush niacin has its own pathway to NAD, and people are having phenomenal success using that protocol, and that's per courtesy of Dimitri Katz. His website is called Homeostasis with the E as a number 3, And he's got a, I think he's got a Twitter account and a Telegram account under the same name, Homeostasis. The E is with number 3.
Okay. I just found this. Todd, give me 2 minutes. I'm going to run a little over. I've got to play this. This is what I sent you. This is a little piece, 2-minute piece from 60 Minutes, talking about viruses. Okay? Now, this is very interesting, what AI can do with viruses.
Learning machines can be creative.
So this is
Hasaba showed us a game-playing program that learns. It's called Alpha Zero, and it dreamed up a winning chess strategy no human had ever seen. But this is just a machine. How does it achieve creativity?
It plays against itself tens of millions of times, so it can explore parts of chess that maybe human chess players and programmers who program chess computers haven't thought about before.
It never gets tired. It never gets hungry. It just plays chess all the time.
Yes, it's kind of an amazing thing to see, because actually you set off Alpha Zero in the morning and it starts off playing randomly. By lunchtime, you know, it's able to beat me and beat most chess players. And then by the evening, it's stronger than the world champion. You know,
Demis Hasabas sold DeepMind to Google in 2014. One reason was to get his hands on this. Google has the enormous computing power that AI needs. This computing center is in Pryor, Oklahoma. But Google has 23 of these, putting it near the top in computing power in the world. This is one of two advances that make AI ascendant now. First, the sum of all human knowledge is online. And second, brute force computing that very loosely approximates the neural networks and talents of the brain.
Things like memory, imagination, planning, reinforcement learning. These are all things that are known about how the brain does it, and we wanted to replicate some of that in our AI systems.
You predict one of those.
Those are some of the elements that led to DeepMind's greatest achievement so far, solving an impossible problem in biology. Proteins are building blocks of life, but only a tiny fraction were understood, because 3D mapping of just one could take years. DeepMind created an AI program for the protein problem and set it loose.
Well, it took us about 4 or 5 years to figure out how to build the system. It was probably our most complex project we've ever undertaken. But once we did that, it can solve a protein structure in a matter of seconds. And actually, over the last year, we did all the 200 million proteins that are known to science.
How long would it have taken using traditional methods?
Well, the rule of thumb I was always told by my biologist friends is that it takes a whole PhD, 5 years, to do one protein structure experimentally. So if you think 200 million times 5, that's a billion years of PhD time it would have taken.
Okay, so they've mapped out 3D 200 million proteins that are known to exist. All done, rather than a billion years of work.
Getting scary.
There's no limit to this. They're not going to put it ever back in the bottle, and it will eventually run the planet. I have no doubt about it. None. All right, anything you want to add there? Great job, as always. We do our best.
DeepMind made its protein database.
All right, and by what he was just saying there was that they actually gave their program up to science to share it. So what is that doing at the Wuhan lab where they're playing around with proteins and viruses right now? Who knows? It's all amazing. Okay, thanks. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back. Hang on.